Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today two great representatives of USCL down in Lancaster. This is their 65th anniversary. We have the interim dean, Dr. Courtney Catledge, with us, and she's brought up a history buff, old Dr. Richard Van Hall, who's going to be telling us all about history on our program and a few other things, I'm sure. So before we get into the program, let's do some introductions. Courtney, tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you for having us today. I'm Dr. Courtney Catledge. I'm the interim dean at USC Lancaster, as he mentioned. I've been with Lancaster. This is my 18th year. I started there as a nursing instructor, moved up and was the director of the BSN Collaborative Program, and then last year took the interim dean role. So I'm a nurse. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I've been a community member of Lancaster for 20-plus years.
So I got to ask you, going from being a nurse practitioner to being a dean, activity level much less in terms of what you studied all those years for?
So for me, I became a nurse practitioner while I was already a nursing instructor.
Okay.
So I have not worked full-time as a nurse practitioner. I've worked part-time as a nurse practitioner. But I think some of the lessons that I can use in both roles is just people. You know, understanding people and have a listening ear. And so, you know, those things as a nurse and a nurse practitioner, you have to critically think through a lot of situations. So it kind of parallels in a lot of ways.
And for those who are not familiar, the way healthcare is going these days, you're going to find more nurse practitioners and physician's assistants doing what doctors used to do because they've gotten so highly skilled. And it's just a more efficient way to run the operation.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have another thing to fall back on, right?
That's right. Okay. That's right.
We're going to get rid of this interim thing on Dean. We're going to try to do it by the end of the show.
We'll see.
We'll call down. Okay. All right. Over here, handsome.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. The very handsome Dr. Richard Van Hall, who's a history professor. You have been down at USCL for how long now?
Since 1971, so in my, 54th year.
Jeez. Have you seen some change down there, or what?
Oh, just a few. People were younger then. I was. But.
Well, tell me a little bit about your background. Your whole background's USCL.
I was in the history department at Carolina trying to get a master's and then PhD, and I was summoned and asked if I wanted a job in Lancaster. So I said yes, I needed the money. Incidentally, it would kind of amuse me because when I got my interview and they said they were going to hire me, I was supposed to teach history, but they said there was an emergency need for someone to teach government. So could you do that? And I would have said I could teach snow skiing, you know. I wanted the job. At any rate, so I taught American national government as an emergency, and the emergency lasted 35 years.
How about that?
I taught it every year for 35 years.
So then you get back into history after 35 years?
Yeah, and I still teach occasionally American national government as well.
Isn't that interesting? Good for you.
It was a long emergency.
I bet you your students love you.
Well, you'd have to do a survey. I think you get a wide range of
responses.
Results on that,
okay.
Yeah.
So, Courtney, tell me, tell the audience, really, when we talk about USCL, you're one of seven or eight satellite campuses that University of South Carolina has, correct?
Not exactly. So the way it works is we have a main campus, and that's the University of South Carolina, Columbia. Then we have comprehensive campuses, which is USC Buford, USC Aiken, and USC Upstate. So those are four-year institutions that are part of our system. Okay. And then we have four regional campuses that fall under Palmetto College, and those are USC Union, USC Sockahatchee, USC Sumter, and of course the largest, USC Lancaster.
So when you say they fall under the Palmetto College, explain mm-hmm. that.
So Palmetto College was created about 12 years ago, and it is a subset of the University of South Carolina, Columbia, still part of the system, and it's designed to oversee the regional campuses as well as our online programming.
With the emphasis on online programs.
With the online completion programs. And those completion programs are done within collaboration with all the other institutions.
Now, true or false, you can get a four-year degree from the University of South Carolina through the Palmetto College?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is amazing. And when you think about being able to create accessibility for education, that online degree through Palmetto College has allowed so many more people to be able to get that while they're staying at home. It's a cost-effective way to do it, but it also, for those that are place-bound in some ways, whether it be from family or just finances or logistics, they can stay home and still get that four-year degree. And it's a quality Carolina education.
So system-wide, is this something that's growing in popularity? I mean, are 10% of the students doing it, or 20%, or?
You know, I haven't looked at the percentage, but I will say when we started Palmetto College 12 or 13 years ago, there was basically two degrees, the Bachelor of Organizational Leadership and Bachelor of Liberal Studies. And now there's 30 degrees that you can achieve, 30 degree completion programs that you can achieve online.
So, Doc, tell me, how has this online education thing changed your world?
Well, now that's a sore spot for me. online education, I think, is a nice supplement to what we have traditionally done, but I don't think it's a substitute for it.
I would agree with that.
And so much of education, you can remember from your own lives, involves associating with the other students, yeah, learning by osmosis, and I really regret that the movement towards more and more online seems to be reducing that series of connections that are so valuable. So I'm a big-time critic.
I got you. Which is interesting, because if somebody was in the Palmetto College, mm-hmm, and let's say they signed up for history, which is offered on the Palmetto College, whatever roster, and also at the USC, I could either go to his class or I could take it online.
Yeah, there's a choice.
Is there really any cost difference with that?
No. So once you get a certain number of credit hours, then the cost of the credit hour goes up because it's a four-year degree as opposed to the two-year degree.
Right.
But if they wanted to take a face-to-face class and it's offered face-to-face, then of course they have that option. And I know you're a critic, but I think part of it is that giving people options is very important to be able to meet their needs where they are. And we've evolved a lot over time so that we can create engagement even between faculty and students, and between students and students, even in an online platform, better than we've ever been able to do that before. And I will say there's a lot of critic and negative feedback surrounding COVID. But from an educational institution, it forced us in a lot of ways to grow and move forward and expand our capacity when it comes to online education.
And I guess the bottom line measurement is how many more people are getting a college education now because of the Palmetto College versus the old standard model where you have to go to do all your classes on campus.
I think the actual test is what sort of quality of college education are people getting, not the number. And it's really one of those things, like most things in education, it's very hard to measure what does that mean, quality. Mm-hmm. Many an institution accomplishes something very valuable, but it certainly isn't Harvard. You know, it's just playing a different role with a different clientele and creating different advantages. It's very hard to compare anything in education.
So I'm a novice at this. I don't know anything about online education. Mm-hmm. But is online live, or are these like pre-recorded seminars or classes?
It depends on the class.
On the class.
So each class has different approvals as far as how they can be offered. So not all classes can be offered in an online format. Some can, some can't. And then, of course, there's autonomy from the teacher, the instructor, the professor. They can choose whether or not they do synchronous or asynchronous. Or and so they can choose whether or not how they want to do their format, depending on the course. You know, I will say that having some online opportunity has allowed us to expand from a nursing standpoint what we can do and produce nurses. And they are at the highest quality that we're producing because of our collaborations.
Well, I'm glad you rolled into that, because I was going to ask you how we're doing with the challenge of producing enough nurses. What are you seeing at USCL?
Well, at USCL, I would say, so we've been in collaboration with USC Columbia's College of Nursing. This is our 15th year. 2025 will be our 15th year graduating nurses. So we started back in 2007 collaborating with them, and we will have graduated just a couple under 300 BSN prepared nurses. So before that, no one was preparing bachelor's nurses in our region. So they were getting an associate degree, which are also very good nurses, and they have provided for us for years. But now we can educate them at the bachelor's level. And a lot of healthcare entities expect bachelor's prepared nurses now.
So bachelor's includes an RN?
Does that right. So you finish your four-year nursing degree, and then you sit for the boards, and you're eligible to sit for the board to be a registered nurse.
Okay.
Right, so you're an RN. So the question, so last year we had our largest graduating class, 30.
Wow.
30 students graduated from USC Lancaster in our collaborative program. Are we meeting the need is the question, I think, rounding back around. We need more.
Oh, yeah.
We need more. I do believe personally that COVID negatively impacted some of the preparation of our high schoolers coming out. And so we're still playing a little bit of catch up on that. So our numbers aren't exactly where I would like to see them as far as enrolling students that can be successful, because it's a very rigorous and challenging curriculum. But we've graduated a lot, and our students don't just stop. I had my first student to graduate with her CRNA, which is a Certified Registered Nurse Anesthetist this year. That's a doctoral program. Have many doctoral prepared nurses as well as nurse practitioners that graduated from our program first and then continued their education. So I think we're still having a positive impact.
So, Doctor, you see a lot of people that are in the nursing program that will impact you on your history?
They'll impact me, not in my history, but in my life afterwards. They're usually the nurses in the entire area. I always, over the years, really like to have people who are majoring in nursing, want to be nurses, in my classes, because they seem to have a greater seriousness about what they're doing. A lot of students, frankly, go to college because it's the next thing to do. But if you have an idea that you want to be a nurse, you really have a goal that involves serious work that you're seriously striving for. It's kind of nice to have people like that in class.
Yeah. Now, you know, you talk about COVID and the impact on nursing. The other side of that is, from a nursing standpoint, nurses have come out now with better pay packages, better hours. I mean, the whole profession has changed because of supply and demand. And they are much more in the driver's seat in terms of, hey, I need to have this for me to come to work for you. Is that true?
That is true. And I think the shortage also has driven that. We learned a lot through COVID when it comes to valuing nursing and valuing all healthcare providers, not just nurses.
Now, do you all have like partnerships, let's say, with Piedmont Medical Center or with Atrium or whoever?
So absolutely. So in a applied science degree like this, and nursing is, you have to have those partnerships. So we partner with MUSC, MUSC Lancaster Health, MUSC Chester Health, Piedmont Medical Center, and Encompass Rehabilitation Hospital. Those are primarily sites that we're using right now for our clinicals.
So,
and they love us.
Okay, so when you say clinicals, this is where we go out of the classroom into the real setting?
Mm-hmm. We go out there and they provide care, and that's how they learn.
And you do that, that's part of, I mean, that's just an ongoing part of the nursing program.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when they graduate and they pass their boards and they're registered nurses, they're ready to hit the ground running.
That's up. Mm-hmm. So you're going to graduate roughly 30 a year? Is that what you're thinking?
Last year was our largest graduating class. I think we have about 24 ready to go this year.
24 to graduate. Mm-hmm. How many could you handle? I mean, if all of a sudden 50 people wanted to come into your program, could you handle it?
So we are a collaborative program with USC Columbia, so that requires a lot of approvals. We can handle up to 32 at this point. I think, you know, if we continue to grow, we do it in increments of 8 because the State Board of Nursing requires an 8-to-1 ratio in clinical. So I think 40 would be a really nice sweet spot for us if we were to grow.
So the other comprehensive campuses, as you mm-hmm. call them, are they all big into nursing the way you are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every one of our regional campuses has a nursing program that is a collaborative program, and then all the comprehensive campuses also have nursing programs.
So collectively, USC is graduating hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
But we need to be thousands and thousands.
Well, it's hard to say.
Hard to say.
But we're definitely doing our part. And the state legislature has really surrounded nursing and has provided some investment to continue to grow nursing faculty and to support nursing education. And we're very thankful for that.
I was going to say, do you all have the resources that you need to do the kind of job you want? Because, you know, it's always jockeying for state funding and what have you.
Right. Well, we have a nice simulation lab. We've received some federal grants. Recently, we received a federal grant and $2.8 million to be able to upgrade some of our buildings. One of the things that I wanted to mention today is we've been around for 65 years, and that means our buildings have been around a long time too. And so with that comes the need for renovations and upgrades. And so being able to seek out funds to do that and some federal funds is going to help us to do that in our healthcare arena.
All right, we're going to get into that after we take our mid-program break. I remind everybody you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And of course, our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, so we're going to see how quickly the professor learns. We do fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. The way we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to chant it out together at the count of three. Watch this now. We're going to have a city councilman show you how to do it, and even the owner can read, believe it or not. At the count of three, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Here is Lee and Monica, owners of Rock Hill Automotive.
We're here to take care of your car and take care of you, whatever you need. I was taught at an early age to do things right the first time, and if you do make a mistake, you make it right.
At Rock Hill Automotive, you truly are family.
Rock Hill Automotive, they keep Rock Hill rolling.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
At Piedmont Medical Center, we have the expertise to treat the conditions that cause back pain, and we're focused on delivering compassionate care to help you live life pain-free. In fact, Piedmont Medical Center is designated a Blue Distinction Center for Spine Surgery by Blue Cross Blue Shield for our commitment to quality care and comprehensive spine surgery services. And by the way, Piedmont offers robotic spine surgery, an innovative surgical option that assists the spine surgeon and care team throughout the surgery. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
It's soup weather and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The program is quickly getting out of control thanks to Dr. Richard Van Hull, who is here. He's one of the history professors at USCL. Dr. Courtney Kalins brought him up here for some reason. I haven't quite figured out what it is yet, but... We were talking about the fact this is your 65th anniversary.
Yes.
And as you pointed out right towards the end of the before the break, you just received a bunch of money to help you renovate buildings which are 65 years old or so. Mm-hmm.
So we received specifically some funds to upgrade Hubbard Hall, and we're going to be creating what we're going to call the USC Lancaster Center for Healthcare Workforce Development, and we're trying to really place some emphasis on our healthcare fields. And our partnerships with different community healthcare agencies. And so we need to upgrade our labs. We need to upgrade our anatomy and physiology lab and our clinical simulation lab. And we need to improve the technology a little bit. And this will help us to do that.
So this is your main campus building for doing a lot of this stuff?
That is where those particular funds are going.
Okay. So what else is on the list of to-dos that we have to get modernized because it's 65 years old?
Well, I will say I feel like our campus has done a good job with our maintenance, mm-hmm. And the legislature supports deferred maintenance for us so that we have functional buildings so that we can continue to teach and do a good job there. We recently updated, got some funds, and we're able to add on to a patio onto our Medford Library. We're redoing some of our common areas so that it can be more engaging and more updated in our Rose Garden, and some things like that is what we're kind of focusing on right now.
So as Dr. Richard Van Hall said here, we talked about renovating buildings. And your comment was what?
Yeah, Courtney mentioned that our buildings, many of them were old, but most of them were built after I was hired, which says something. Something above. Can I just add something on that? One of the things that's kind of fun or rewarding when you go on a campus is to see, the growth of the campus, but those buildings, by and large, are the result of community involvement. I mean, the whole community gets behind contributing money, contributing effort, and doing so forth. And it kind of makes our campus an expression of the community will and community dreams and so forth. And if, for instance, whenever a building goes up, every member of the faculty is asked to contribute along with the rest of the community. So it's kind of nice just to walk there and say, I remember when that one was going up.
There's an old expression, there's nothing closer to home than the home team. Mm-hmm. And the smaller the community, the more important pieces of the puzzle like USCL and the hometown football team are. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's great. That's you get more of a sense of community the smaller that the community is. Here Rock Hill, same thing. We have a tremendous sense of community here. We talk about it all the time. We're growing so big, we worry that we may lose that. And we don't want to lose that because that's what made us what we are. And down in Lancaster County, you're growing. Woo! You are incredible, the growth you're having in the northern panhandle.
Like just the same, you said the sense of community. One of the things that's nice is staying in the same place a long time. If I go to Walmart or something and... I'll bump into people, and what I have done in the past matters, even if it means somebody's still mad at me for getting a D-, or if somebody's happy to have gotten an A, it all seems to count, rather than the anonymity you get in a really large place.
No doubt about that. Yeah. So we talked a lot about nursing. Mm-hmm. Is there another main focus of the students coming in to USCL?
Well, so just to clarify, we at USC Lancaster offer several different associate degrees. We offer an associate degree in criminal justice, associate in arts, associate in science, and an associate in business. And so you can tell by some of our emphasis, those are also high needs fields.
Right.
So we really are trying to kind of push our criminal justice degree because we are in a shortage of criminal justice, police officers, and that kind of thing. And then one other thing that we're really looking at trying to expand and promote more readily is education, because we're in a shortage of teachers. And USC Lancaster was created by community members. The whole driving force behind it was they saw a need and they wanted education locally. They didn't want people to have to travel. But they also saw they were members of the chamber. And those are business people that see the needs. And so we still continue to try to look at our community, hear what they have to say, and then respond with what we do. And we also have really expanded what we do within the community through our internship program. So, for instance, in 2024, University of South Carolina, through legislative support, started an internship stipend program so they can get up to $3,000 in specific fields. And none of our students have ever gotten that before. And so we really pushed that. We've been doing some internships along the way, but our coordinator really pushed out there, and we were able to have 40 students who received $3,000 of those internship stipends. Some of them were in our collaborative programs. Others of them were true USC Lancaster students, but that has brought funds to our students, but it's also brought connections, additional connections within our communities. And then hopefully they will get jobs in those after those internships. And worst case scenario, they learned what they didn't want to do, but many of them learned exactly what they want to do and the companies that they want to work for. So that's another thing that community is, like you mentioned, community is so important to us.
Oh, absolutely. And I would imagine your curriculum is getting more and more focused on being career ready, job ready, so people can walk right out of school and boom, into a job.
Absolutely. We have a career coordinator who helps with all our internships, and she's constantly looking at, can we offer some additional short courses or seminars for soft skills and various other leadership type information to be able to prepare them, because that's what our community partners are saying, that not only do we need people who have knowledge, but we need people who are able to function within the confines of the culture of business or the culture of education or the culture of criminal justice.
All right, so it's our 65th anniversary,
yes,
USCL. 65. Is the doctor over here going to give a lecture on the history of USC over the last 65 years?
Depends on what money is offered.
You old capitalist, you.
Not that I know of.
I think you ought to.
Pardon? I ought to give a lecture?
You ought to give a lecture.
You know, I have actually written, I haven't told Courtney on this, but on my computer I have from time to time written of memories of the early years and so forth. And I've tried to tell a few people if I get run over by a bus,
it's there.
to try and access some of those things from the computer might be of interest.
So what activities do we have planned for the 65th?
So we've been promoting it kind of all along and sharing it with a variety of groups that we are celebrating 65 years. And really, we see 65 as a time to thank people. Because we wouldn't exist without our partners and without our community members. We have the second largest scholarship program in the state of South Carolina's system, the system. Wow. And so we only have that because people give and because people believe in what we do. And so we plan to host an event in late March, and more information will come out about that as it gets closer. But the event is really an event to share what we do at USC Lancaster, but also to recognize those that have supported and given to us over the years.
So your student body now, you have roughly how many people?
Our current headcount is about 2,500.
2,500.
This spring is a little bit smaller than the fall, so it ranges between 2,300 and 2,500.
Good for you.
Now, we do have a diverse population of types of students. We have traditional students, we have part-time students, we have non-degree seeking students, and we have dual enrollment students.
Well, Dr. Courtney Kalish, thank you for being with us, and good old Dr. Richard Van Hull, thank you for being here as well. Congratulations on 65 years, and I'm sure we'll hear more about this as we get closer and closer. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time for all the groupies who are here. We have fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. I don't know why it doesn't open up on Sunday, but he doesn't. How we do it is why you out there should be in here. At the count of three, let's tell them. One, two, three.
Slice, garden.
All right, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.